Let's go.
So now we're going to read excerpts about work within reason and above reason. We're continuing with item 26. It's by, this excerpt is by Rabash, article, "The whole earth is full of his glory." If one returns his heart to trying to walk in faith above the intellect, by this he qualifies it and establishes it so as to achieve the revelation of the face, as it is presented in the Zohar that the Shekhinah, divinity, said to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, "There is no place to hide from you." Meaning that in all the concealments that he felt, he believed that here was the light of the Creator. This qualified him until he achieved the revelation of the face of his light. This is the meaning of the measure of the faith that pulls one out of every lowliness and concealment. If a person strengthens himself in this and asks the Creator to reveal himself, this is the meaning of what Baal HaSulam said, "Run, my beloved, until she pleases." Meaning that before one is fit to reveal his light, we ask of him, "Run, my beloved." Meaning that he will not reveal himself to the created beings because the concealment is only the correction of creation. Hence, one must brace oneself and pray for those two. 1. To be worthy of the revelation of the light of the Creator. 2. That the Creator will give him the power to grow stronger in faith above reason. For by this, he merges kelim, vessels, that are fit to the, for the revelation of the face.
Kol ma she'anachnu
ovrim, ze... Everything we go through is an opportunity, a possibility to strengthen the ervut, the connection between us. If we attain the connection and strengthen it to the extent in which we start to feel the system which begins to rise slowly, slowly, and be built between us, then we will start to see their actions in reason and in above reason. Pharaoh and the Creator. We and what needs to be in the higher up degree above us. This all depends on how much we respect and seek the implementation of the Arvut. Arvut is one for the ten. Each for the ten. Why? If there's no one, then there's no system. The ten does not exist. Nothing exists. There's no somewhat in spirituality. Hence, this attempt to not be a part in any force, form, or condition from the ten or from the group is a necessary condition. That's why it's so grave for us to see to the people that are disregarding today. And I saw, I say something one day, the next day, let's say 5% came from the friends. I say a little bit more, the next day, maybe another 5% came, and so on. That's a state in which our chances for the time being are very weak. Well, let's continue onwards. Is there any question about this? What?
Pashut
It's just running in my head, so I said I'd ask about it.
We're not adapted to you having to free up to us whatever you feel like. You want to say something that needs to help us, to awaken us, and not that is going to free up the pressure in you.
I think it will be a relief for many of us, not just for me. There are two concepts. One, that there's no coercion in spirituality.
What is there's no coercion in spirituality?
There's this concept we use often, that there is no coercion in spirituality.
Yes, what is that?
That's the first question. I would like you to explain it. The second question is,
I will tell you what there's no coercion in spirituality is, because if you want to reach spirituality, you coerce yourself, so much so that at first it's in coercion, and then with your will. And only when you have the desire for it, you enter spirituality.
So I turn the objection into...
Entrance into spirituality cannot be in coercion, but rather only from your will, your own will, where you're begging, where you're paying, where you're doing everything in order to enter to, in order to bestow, to be a servant to others. You're willing to pay for that. Like with the baggage of the Great One, that for you, carrying his baggage is a pleasure, and you're paying a lot of money for it.
And until I do it in this way, I'm not doing something spiritual?
It's not spiritual. It's not bestowal. I gave you an example back then, yes? Like it was with the Rebbe from Vizhnitz, when he would arrive. That one, not Vizhnitz, it was... not Lubavitch. He never came to Israel. From New York, he would come. Safnik, yes. When he came here, and then one bought a $300,000 car, I don't know if there's such a car or something, in order to be the driver by this Rebbe for a week. And besides that, he paid, I don't know how much, only in order to serve him. That's Hasidism, but nevertheless, this is called that you arrive in spirituality in coercion. In coercion, meaning that you had a desire before that only to succeed and profit, and you did work, let's say, until you recognized his importance as greater than your importance, let's say, by $1 million. That doesn't matter how much. Or that you're carrying his suitcase, his baggage, like we're told. But in coercion, you can't enter. You enter with will. And what a will! You need to break the wall that there is between you and spirituality.
So, what do we say to all those who still don't have a desire?
To grow it together with the group. Resistance, clash comes every moment. There's resistance, there's repulsion.
So that leads me to the next question, which is, how does it not turn us into Hasidim? Rav said, so we have to do.
What is the Rav telling you?
Rav says, go hand out papers. I have to annul myself, whatever I feel, whatever my resistance I feel. I understand I have to feel resistance, but I understand, but I'm doing this with society, and it's bestowal, and I go and do it because the Rav said.
What's the difference between this and Hasidism? Let's see if you understand.
This is my second question. How is it different from what we're doing?
This is against your desire. And Hasidism, it's not against your desire.
It's not against, but I do it because Rav said, not because I have a desire for it, because I want to bestow.
Rav told you to do something and you have resistance. That's already not Hasidism. That's not religion.
Many people here didn't have resistance. Rav said, so they did it.
That seems to you. You think that you're special.
No, I wasn't talking about myself.
So again, sit and listen, it's better. Don't be so wise that are taking time of us and there's no scrutiny in this. Another one. Yes, exactly. You're from the same kind. Well, let's see. Well, say.
Oh, I'm afraid already. I just want to clarify a certain point. When I have to do something and I don't want to, I become included in society. In the beginning, to do it, I just trample over myself and I force myself into society. It's still an ego, right?
I'm not answering you. You're saying, yeah, right, wrong. You're in your scrutiny.
Okay, so I force myself, the same as with the papers, because I want to get to spirituality, so I go and do it. And then society begins to work on me, and I begin to change automatically. So it turns out that I'm constantly stepping over my view with the view of society. And I'm trying to find a point of split of reason and above reason. So I keep changing my reason, my view. I just take in the view of society instead of mine, I replace them.
Yes, you're incorporating yourself in them for the time being.
So there's no split here of reason and above reason. It's just a new reason all the time, new opinion.
This is all internal work. It's all internal work. You need to understand that as much as you will be in a state of scrutiny, the importance of the goal, the importance of the ten, the importance of the arvut, which is the law of connection in the system of Adam HaRishon, as much as you will constantly be in the feeling of importance, then accordingly you will feel. And what's against and what's for? And all the rest leave to the Creator. Meaning, all kinds of doubts will awaken in you, problems, doubts. Look, we see the Moscow group, the Peter group, all kinds of other, Almata, Hungary, Berlin. Each of them also, if they want, are in doubts. Why are they leaving the path? Because they can't deal with the doubts that the Creator brings them. It's not simple. A person is not aware of what business he's in, what inner business he's dealing with. Each time, obstacles are brought to him, doubts, every single moment. He doesn't answer them. He flows. Until this flow takes him out. When he's just not ready and paying attention. If we were to stand on guard each time to be listening all the time, listening, what the Creator is awakening in me. What does he constantly want? How everything changes in me and I would associate these things to him? I would feel that I'm constantly in this work and I constantly need to give an answer to where I am, why, for what, how to be in every moment in this way and that way, adhere to the environment. And then I would constantly be scrutinizing and connecting myself in all kinds of manners to the environment and cascading that way. But if I'm like a dead body that doesn't respond, that's not sensitive to what's happening, I don't want to identify the cry of the Creator towards me that's constantly calling on me and saying, well, come, do. Then we are like we are. Years pass. Until from the despair we fall asleep, soon we'll die, and okay, what can you do?
Yeah. I'm trying to rebuild the question. When I come to an environment and I have my thoughts against whatever, I come to an environment because it's the most important thing to me. The creator is in the environment, in the group. I come to the group and I feel like I begin to change as a result because the environment changes me where I want to go, to spirituality. But I don't feel that it splits me. I just feel
a lack of inner scrutinies, a lack of sensitivity to changes and that are coming from the Creator, all of them. There's no change that comes from Him, that doesn't come from Him, in a directed, guided way to you. And you're not aware of this. You don't want... You could live in a dormant manner, kind of unneutral. However it flows, let it flow on its own. That's the problem. Not just yours. Let's go.
So, there's a state of neutral and a state of scrutinies, but I don't understand how these scrutinies bring me into avud toward the friends.
Scrutinies not towards avud, so what's with those scrutinies? I don't hear that.
Well, that's the thing. Everything that comes up from all these scrutinies is how I bring myself to act, to one know before the friends. But still, I can't understand...
Why is that not part of the Arvut? That is the Arvut. I want to nullify before the society, to get closer to them, to belong more to this whole system. How will I know that this whole system will exist like it should, where I'm bestowing to them? How could it be that...
If I have some objection, and I'm included, and I want to flow with the friends... It's like I'm not getting in the way. So in this, I contribute to the avud. But how do I...
By what are you not bothering?
I'm not getting in the way. I'm included in the avud. I'm maintaining the avud because I'm not negating it, not denying it.
There's no such thing in spirituality. If you miss the moment, if, you're bothering.
How do I miss it? Because...
In... A lack of additional forces on your
How can I constantly add strength?
In scrutinizing what else I can add to the society until it reaches the intensity of the Ten Sefirot.
So the realization of what I have to do according to society is my avud and nothing else?
There is nothing. Nothing in reality exists but the Arvut.
So there's what I can do.
What does Baal HaSulam tell you? You have exile, recognition of the exile. Then you have before you the reforming light, which is called the Torah, the giving of the Torah. In order to get to that, the kli for that is the Arvut. We're done. There's nothing but that. You attained the Arvut, you got the Torah, start implementing it. If you start to implement it, you see that everything that was written in the holy books, the Bible, the Gemara, the Mishnayot, everything that you want, all of that is written only about the inner development of a person. And there's no more than that. But what is developing? Arvut, meaning the assembly into that system of Adam HaRishon by the reforming light, which is called Torah, in stages that are called 620 actions, 613 mitzvot.
I hope I'm not missing the point. I feel like there are two styles, two forms. One is I am doing what I have to do according to society, to what society says, and there's also how I support the friends so they do it, so they are into it. Isn't it my role in the Avut?
Yes.
So that's something else. It collides with it.
I don't understand him.
I'll explain. Let's say we want to go out and hand out papers. I have to push myself to do it despite my objections.
Yes.
On the other hand, there's the matter of the friends who are with me also doing it.
Yes?
How do I combine the two?
I don't think that this clashes with that. I need to raise myself to the level where for me, let's say, giving out those newspapers will be as important as a high value. I do this, the correction of the world I associate to this, and the connection of that needs to be between people and so on. I need to come to a state that I'm impressed by this mission. Otherwise, I'm just giving out newspapers. Like, I was paid 100 shekel and I give it out. It's truly like, because I won't be thrown from the society, I need to, so I give it out. That's the reward. Instead of being rewarded with connection and being ready for the reception of the Creator, the revelation of the Creator.
I'm saying, let's say I hand out 20% of what I can hand out, and the friends work on me, and I get to 40%. Do I have room to advance in what I'm doing, in what I'm contributing? Instead of that, I can go and support the friends. Where is the transition to what I'm giving to the friends? Or is it only about this? About doing more of...
I don't understand him.
When there's an atmosphere of doing more, I just run. I don't see anyone. I'm saying, how can I do more now? But I'm thinking of myself.
Yes, because you're impressed from the atmosphere.
Right.
Well, and you give it up.
And then I find myself thinking only of me, not of the society.
Right, it's like I were to take a person from the outside and give him 100 shekels, and he would give out newspapers.
So how do you see to the transition so it's toward our vut?
Then add from here with your desire. That's why I said, why am I doing this? The greatness of the goal, greatness of the Creator, greatness of dissemination, greatness of correction of the world, connection between everyone. Did you do that preparation before the giving out of the newspapers?
And that would make me act?
And then when you're giving it out, personally, it's filled with a spiritual action. It's a spiritual action. And also the people that will receive it and read the newspaper, even if they don't read it, but receive it from you specifically, will feel it. And they won't feel it, but it will be in them. Everything will be clarified in thought. Other than that, you can talk to people. That's fine with your friends. But you yourself are saying that you're not impressed. Okay.
I want to clarify about coercion in spirituality. I heard that the concept of no coercion in spirituality means until I have a real desire, I don't enter spirituality. And it's not like I thought that no coercion means that if someone tells me the group, the Rav, then I force myself and then I do it. And then you have this gap. So what is coercion? So I understand no coercion means if there's no desire, you don't enter. Or maybe I didn't understand.
How can you enter spirituality without desire? How can you? You have to be in an immense desire in order to make upon yourself a restriction and to be as an ubar, where you don't want anything except for that.
So where's the coercion with relation to what?
The coercion upon what will be revealed to you. This whole world.
I have to coerce.
You need to prefer spirituality to be there in zero, only in bestowal, truly in zero upon all of corporeality, which you don't appreciate according or evaluate according to spirituality in any way. These are values. This is what we need.
So spirituality is bestowal, if I'm translating it correctly.
There's no bestowal yet. Let's say that's not important. But when you Appreciate being above your ego, above your egoistic calculations.
Can I force my ego to be in bestowal? It's called faith above reason. You do it on two levels. You don't have to get rid of all your assets. The only question is, to which extent do you prefer one over the other? You don't have to go naked into spirituality the way you came from your mother. You enter spirituality with the appreciation that bestowal, that the connection between the friends, the bestowal between them, in order to reach some kind of compatibility with the Creator, is above everything. Above what? May I have everything that there is in the world, may it be mine, but spirituality, in that one point, is more than the entire world. It's a matter of value. Faith above reason.
It's clear. What's no coercion?
No coercion in spirituality. It means that you can't enter forcefully, coercively. By coercion, you exchange the different states, but you want spirituality so bad that it's not coercion. He's being cursed until he says, I want it. But without saying, I want it, you can't enter spirituality.
Until this point, it's okay, there is coercion. Afterwards, there's this point where I need to want it, and then I say upon that, there is no coercion.
Right. And later, this is how it is on each and every degree, again and again. Every time you scrutinize broken desires in you, also in coercion, every time. Well, don't worry, it'll fall into place. You're still in this whirlpool of handing out newspapers.
You emphasize recently that it's very important to get back to the importance of the 10 of our vote and all these things.
Oh, we're not going back to anything. When did we ever leave it?
There was this period where we exerted in other things.
If I'm not talking about it on a daily basis, it means that you can leave it.
At least with me, that's how I feel. We detach from that to go to dissemination actions. Now, the format of the work in the tens have changed. There was a one day of the tens and 3 days. Now it's changing each week. And yesterday you said at the meal that the ten is, in general, what the person depicts to himself if he wants to belong to a ten. I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was something like that. Then it will reveal to him the true ten of his, and then he can adhere to it. Can you explain that? Because it's unclear.
This isn't what I meant. This isn't what I meant. It'll just confuse you.
Can you give an advice?
No, I can't. You already have experience. You have to direct yourselves. What does it mean, a 10 for you?
Simply, there's a lot of confusion in terms of what's happening with the 10s recently.
Probably you have to go through these confusions. It's the time of katnut. That's how you grow? In the confusions. I have no advice for this until you decide. But because of the advancement that we have to advance, and not that we're sitting, and they told us to sit, we'll sit. They tell us to stand, we'll stand. They lay us down, we lay. If you'll want to advance, you will find the correct method of connection, the correct 10. Everything's right. If you'll want to advance, if you don't want to advance, how will it help me to, what, shuffle you like cards? How can that help? Therefore, I have no choice. Every day, I'm giving more and more materials. You absorb it. You somehow digest it. Then fine. And if you don't, Beyond this, I can't do anything. Am I content with the situation? No, I'm not. Especially that now we saw what happened. According to the truth, the way it's supposed to be, I was supposed to say one word and that's it. And it's clear to everyone that we have an opportunity for avud, connection, bestowal. What happened instead? I had to talk for 10 days and I saw a result that says about a situation that in this society, half the people are garbage. They have nothing to do with the spiritual path, just sitting in their stinking pride. So what is there to talk about here? Tens, groups. What tens? What groups? That's why it's called Arvut. It says writings of Bala Sulam, Arvut, but we have books. Good, good. Let's go then.
Ve'avi oti el ha'koshi Like a bed.